The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at the producer Nick. You can also text the show, you know the number for that. Although, I'm guessing things are getting a little bit back to normal because we were getting Tuesday texters today who keep telling us what horrible human beings we are for our opinions. So, yeah, I'm a terrible person. You're right. 100% agree.
Yeah. I don't care if anybody thinks I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's you can't change what people think. So is there any other sports besides Korean baseball that we want to get to today? I honestly did almost all of my prep work on stuff that's not sports sites. Because...
Yeah, I don't know how much... there's not a whole lot of sports, honestly.
I mean, there's stuff like the Panthers overruling Matt Rhule on the seventh pick in the draft because he wanted to trade it.
Okay.
That didn't do anything for you?
No, I don't need that.
You have an ESPN host that had to apologize to Mitchell Trubisky for a joke.
Okay, I'll bite. What got said?
Tony, I think it's Reale. I'm not.
Tony Reale, yeah. He used to host that, I don't remember what the name of that show was, where they give each other points. Like a guy gives, Max Kellerman used to have the job before.
Around the horn.
Yeah.
Around the horn. Yeah, apparently he said on Around the Horn at the end of the program that he, quote, didn't want to Trubisky it, referring to the accuracy of Mitch Trubisky.
Okay.
And he felt the need to apologize for this, AJ. Says he tweeted at him and said, "Hey, Mitchell, Tony Reale here from ESPN. I would like to apologize for a line I just had at the end of Around the Horn about inaccurate passes. I didn't want a Trubisky. It was a line. It was small of me. One of those, what a moron I am 2 seconds after you say it." And then he donated some money to Mitch Trubisky's charity.
All right. That's 2020 for you.
Well... are we really at the point where you have to apologize for stuff like that? I mean, it was almost funny. I mean, I never get mad at people for trying to be funny and failing because, you know, that's going to happen. You're going to miss.
Yeah, it's hard.
But that, I mean, how offensive is that? Seriously. So, 832, guys, Americans don't like being told what they can and can't do. The same folks that are protesting are the same ones sending to the text line from Sosa. I get that. I don't like being told what to do either. But, I mean, if it's an inconvenience, I'm down. I said, I have no problem. I mean, I ordered a bunch of different masks that'll look cool. Just, I'm going to do them like baseball caps. It's just going to be a style thing. And I'll keep wearing them until they say, okay, you don't need to do it. So, I don't know. By the way, a lot of people asking what your thoughts are on the UFC.
A lot of people have asked me, and I said I'd put together a card if by Wednesday night they hadn't canceled it. I'll put together a card on Thursday, but I'm not getting sucked in again.
Well, I mean, it looks like all systems go, right? I mean, Florida's down with it. But
yeah, but I mean, so was the tribe out there in in the Tachi Palace. They were ready to go too.
Well, the one thing that I would be concerned about, if they're going to test all these guys, what happens if somebody gets test positive and they have to cancel the fight? Would they cancel all the fights?
That's a problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Darnell says it's odd that people protesting now didn't support the cap protests. Boy, those are two completely unrelated.
Oh yeah, but it is funny. I mean, it is funny seeing all these angry white people yelling in the face of cops and not doing exactly what they're told. They can't take it.
Yeah. I mean, I get your point, but on the other hand, two completely unrelated issues. But hey, it's your right. If you want to go protest that, go protest that. I don't need to be around your protest. If I know where you're going to be, I'll be somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, if you're protesting now in a group, you're an idiot.
Well, nobody said that. Yeah, anybody. Well, most protests to me are extremists. So, you know, the whole idea that, well, I'm just going to go out in public and do whatever I want. Okay, that's great. You guys all get together. If you guys get it, fine. That's your choice. It's my choice to not go out where your protest is.
Yeah.
So, or to completely ignore your protest because it means nothing. And, you know, the whole I don't want to be told what to do thing. Okay, and that's fine. Don't wear seatbelts. Go ahead and drink and drive. I mean, in fact, and I'm talking to you guys specifically, just go get yourself plastered and see if you can run your car through a tree. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference?
That's what I'm saying. And that's what people don't understand. Like, they're, oh, it's my choice. Like, if you want to get hammered in your own house, by all means, do it. You want to get hammered and go out and drive? Now you're impacting other people other than yourself. You're endangering people other than yourself. That's why that's illegal. That's why it's perfectly legal to go and have 12 beers in your house and then sit on your couch. No one's making laws against that. It's when you drink 12 beers and then you go out, get behind the wheel, and start driving. That's when it becomes dangerous. You get it, you dummies?
No, they don't get it. Listen, there's just a certain segment we're not going to get through to. And that's fine. I'll say is, you know, I wish people would, hey, if you're going to go out, cool, just, you know, wear the mask, wash your hands, use the sanitizer. Which, frankly, we should all be doing anyway. Maybe not the mask. Maybe that's a bit much. But, I mean, we've made fun of people for years for not washing their hands when they go in the bathroom and have called them out. And, you know, now, hey, who looks like they were right about that? Just saying. Oh, well.
The problem is there's probably nobody who's right and wrong about this whole thing. I mean, I get it's just it's a matter of what everybody's priorities are. Like, my priority is just, you know, me and my family not dying. You know, if financial stuff comes up, then I'm going to figure out a way to deal with it. But there's nothing more important than me and my family being alive. That's why when I hear, like, I even forget, it was Dan Patrick who said, you know, as a grandparent, I'd be willing to sacrifice my life to get the economy. Like, no, I don't want my kids' grandparents to die so the economy can get rolling again. They had a good life.
Dan Patrick.
Yeah, I'll give up Dan Patrick's life since he's willing to volunteer. But that doesn't mean that every grandparent wants to die for the economy. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous.
And then another, it says two guys with jobs. Yeah, so I guess I'm not allowed to have an opinion because we're still able to work.
Okay.
You know, but listen, I have a lot of friends who are out of work, a lot of good friends,
yeah,
a lot of family members. And you know what? It sucks. And I would love for them all to be able to get back to work whenever they can. And you know, instead of, I mean, I don't really get your point here, because all we've tried to do is help people out over the past month and a half and do our part that way. And I mean, we're fortunate enough to be able to do that. So if that's not good enough for you, I got two words for you. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And, you know, yeah, listen, 832, I've heard your argument 100 times. There's no right or wrong. Why are you guys so outgoing to criticize people that want to go back to work to feed their families? Poverty brings death also. Nobody's saying that, man. If, I mean, believe me, if everybody could go back to work right now, that'd be great. I'd be all for it. And I think that's what's going to happen. And I'm the one that said, don't do this in the first place. So, you know, it sucks not being able to work. Been there, lived in my freaking car. It sucks. And I hate it. And I hated all along that when we shut this down, this is what was going to happen. And all I've said is, if we're going to shut it down, we need to shut it down until we feel safe enough to do it. That's it. All right, let's just take a break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. 346 says, have you seen the results from the quarantine? It hasn't been successful. Look at the number of new cases. Which is, you know, like I said, maybe if people would do what they're supposed to do, then it would have been. And I can't trust these numbers. I really can't, because we just don't know. I mean, AJ mentioned it. Where are we, like 49th in testing in this state?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to give some advice here, and you can take it or leave it. It doesn't really matter to me. But if I were unable to work right now, I would take whatever job I needed to. I'd go help stack at Walmart. I mean, anything that's out there, I would go get. And if I couldn't get a job, I would spend some time learning a new skill that I could use. Like our buddy George, loyal listener George, had to go to Arkansas to work to support his family.
Yeah.
And he's away from his family, but he's working. So, I mean, it's a tough environment out there right now. But that doesn't mean that you can't find some way and do something. One, you know, when I was in my bad situation, I worked two jobs. So, you know, 254 says, so I started working for a shift since I lost my job in the shutdown. I got to say, when all this first happened, everyone was bashing millennials and the younger generation for not being precautious. I have to say, I'm in the stores all the time now, and the majority of people I see not wearing masks are older people. And they've talked so badly about the younger generation through this whole thing, but yet
That's
I see
so stupid,
one out of three
yeah.
people. Well, it says, I see, and I agree with this 100%. I see one out of three people from the age 50 or older not wearing a face mask. Almost every younger person I see is wearing a face mask, so this issue needs to be brought up. And that's a fair point. I don't have numbers on who's wearing them and who's not, but I guarantee you, if when I go out and see people without them, they're not millennials. So, it's interesting. Tepper mentioned the other day, 10 years ago, we were going through a similar crisis. I think it was closer to 12 years after Ike. It was really bad. That was the worst thing I've ever been through before this, because we lost all our advertisers, and we've lost a lot here, but we've had some stay with us, which is great. But we had to do furloughs and layoffs and everything, and it sucked. And, you know, there was a couple months where I didn't get paid at all, and I couldn't afford to not get paid. And so, yeah, it sucks, guys. I get tired of this, you know, in these difficult times commercials, and we're all in this together commercial. Well, you know, we're not. I mean, we're all dealing with the same stuff, but in reality, we really, you know, have to do the best to fend for ourselves right now. And I just hope that, you know, I hope everybody's able to get jobs. I hope everybody's able to work. But, you know, the reality is, I don't know that that's going to happen. And I don't know what to say to that. I mean, people are going to lose some gigs, and it sucks. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, you know, some good points. And by the way, I think I figured it out why everybody's so salty today. Cinco de Mayo, so I'm guessing you guys have been drinking all day.
Could be.
409, preach, preach. You guys sound like The View, where only your opinion is right.
No. I mean, everybody's entitled to an opinion, but just because you have a different opinion than us doesn't mean that we're going to go, oh, you know what? You're right. I mean, what kind of stupid, who does that? I don't care if you think I'm right or not. That's not the goal of this. My goal's not to convince you of anything. If you're convinced you got to go get a haircut on Friday, go get a freaking haircut. But don't come crying when you're sick or your dad's sick or your mom's sick and go, oh, I don't know how this happened. I don't know how. Yeah, you do.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not here to tell you what to do. That's your choice. But I'm going to ask you if you're going to go out in public to wear a damn mask. I don't think that's too much to ask. And, you know, yeah, that's my opinion. And I think you're an idiot if you don't do that. Sorry. You can think I'm an idiot for saying that. That's America works.
That doesn't bother me either.
And another 409 says, I'm an operator. I'm accustomed to making between $36 and $40 an hour. After being laid off, I went to work as a stocker at HGB. You have to adjust to what's going on. Yeah.
Bingo.
And you are listener of the day. Congratulations. So. So we said when all this started, Walmart and HGB were hiring like crazy for in-store and drivers and still hiring. And yeah. Wondering how many people actually filled out an app.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, think about this. When I worked offshore after I got out of the Army, and I was making six figures a year with, you know, I didn't have a wife or kids. I was doing pretty well. And then when I went back to school, I broke my leg working on the rig. I went back to school and got a job bartending. I've got news. Bartending didn't pay six figures a year. So what did I have to do? I had to stop spending money the way I was when I made good money, and I had to start living, you know, in a different way. That's, I mean, everyone, you adjust your income. I mean, if you haven't figured that out, how to adjust your income or adjust your life based on your income, I don't know what's going to help you.
Yeah.
You were living differently. Hell, I was living differently when we started this show compared to now.
Significantly. And look, this hasn't been easy on us either. I mean, I've taken a really big hit here, and you know, fortunately, I'm in a position where I could afford it. I don't know that I'm going to have to take another one, but you know, it wasn't always that way. And again, if this had been 5 years ago, probably wouldn't have made it. You know, it's just, but I mean, the reality is, yeah, you do what you have to survive. And I think you have to, and that means making changes in this environment, then by all means. But,
yep.
Yeah. And I just got a direct message from a guy who told me he works for a staffing company and they have a lot of openings. You know, if you will email me your information, I'll put that on, you know, I'll tweet it out so that people can go and find jobs. Happy to help with that. Fowler975@gmail.com. So thank you, Sean. Yeah, well, I'm happy to tell people where to go to get work. So 713, serious question. How has the lack of gambling affected you guys? It hasn't, because we did all the poker tournaments and I've still had horse racing, so I'm fine. And, you know, I've enjoyed being able to play the tracks. And, you know, now, should they be running? It's a different issue. I don't necessarily have. Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think they should be doing it, but I've loved having Oakland Park, and you know, now I said I've been goofing off with Will Rogers Downs of all places. The thing is, it's not any different than when I'm playing on the computer in a normal time.
I wouldn't say it's affected, and it doesn't change my life. Well, I will say this: I made last year between NCAA conference tournaments and March Madness, I made close to $10,000. That didn't happen this year. So that's $10,000 that I didn't see. That's $10,000 of income that I lost out on this year. That sucks, but that's part of the deal, though. I think, you know, I imagine me losing $10,000. Imagine what the guys that put on the NCAA tournament lost.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and let's be honest, a lot of our income is based on appearances. Well, guess what happened to those?
I haven't had them.
Yeah, and this was Derby weekend. That's my biggest week on pregame.
Yep.
Every year. That's a big chunk of cash that is gone, and not to mention that, you know, without as many endorsements, because listen, if we're up to me, we'd have all the companies back and we'd have all our business back. I mean, that's, you know, it's a lot. And, you know, it's just, I'm just fortunate, as are you, that we're in a good enough position. But, you know, the thing is, guys, you just have to, find a way to make it. And I think, if I had to go stack boxes at HEB and to support my family, I'd do it. You know, if I could get any job like that, I would do it. And I've done crap work before.
Yeah.
And, you know, and even that's not really crap work at this point. I mean, the world's changed. And, you know, I do believe that, and well, I said this all along, I think once you shut this thing down, it was going to be a real mess. And I guess the only thing I've changed my opinion on is you almost have to, because even if you look now, people just aren't doing what they need to be doing. And somebody else says, I'm salty that people around here in my profession are on furlough making more on unemployment than me while I'm still working every day. I don't know how long we can go with unemployment. I mean, how many people are out of work now? What's the number?
I don't even know.
I don't know how long that can be sustained either. But, and, you know, and healthcare and everything else, I mean, it's just, it's a mess, man. It really is. And I wish that wasn't the case. I wish that none of this had ever happened, but the reality is it has, and now we have to adjust. And there's jobs that aren't going to come back in this, and in a lot of businesses. And so you have to adjust. So, you know, that's what I would be doing right now if I were out of work, is try to find something that I know is going to be Rona-free, that's going to survive the Ronavirus. All right. I'll tell you who's going to survive the Ronavirus. Lawyer Dave. And he's still out there, you know, making you money by winning cases. And I know a lot of you are out there driving still and getting in wrecks. First thing you want to do is call Lawyer Dave. What's up, buddy?
That's exactly right, Fred. When you get an accident, the first thing you should do is you better dial Dave at 713-626-8900, and I'll tell you what to do, and I'll help you. For example, Fred, what do we do if somebody doesn't have any money and they need some medical treatment after a wreck?
You set them up. Doesn't come out of their pocket at all.
That's exactly right. No money up front out of the client's pocket, and if they need transportation, we'll get them an Uber, too.
And it doesn't cost them a dime to just call and consult with you. And maybe you don't handle the kind of case that they need. You'll put them with the right person. And if you can't help them, you'll tell them up front.
Right. We get quite a bit of inquiries regarding stuff that is a little off the beaten path for us. And I know, done this 31 years, I know lawyers all over town. I'll send them to that lawyer if it's something we can't help. And what's important to the people is that we win together. We take a percentage of whatever we win for the clients. And if we lose, they don't owe me anything. And that helps, too.
Yeah, you like to gamble on yourself, and you like to gamble on your clients, and you win your fair share. I mean, how many cases have you tried now?
Oh, geez. I'd say in the neighborhood of about 300 trials, easy, and probably 20,000 10,000-20,000 cases over this career. Yeah, lots and lots.
Well, you're still in business and you're still knocking it out of the park. Tell them again how they can get in touch with you.
They can call me at 713-626-8900 or lawyerdave.com. We got a Blitzer got a hold of us that way yesterday. Or they can tweet me at lawyerdavelaw, or by all means, get a hold of my buddy Fred. He knows how to find me 24/7.
Yeah, you guys can always hit me up on Twitter, send me an email, and I'll get you all that information if you can't remember it. What do they do if they need a lawyer?
Well, they better dial Dave.
This is ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And always good to hear from my man, Lawyer Dave. And as always, if you can't remember those numbers, just hit me up and I'll get them to you. Also, want a little shout out to our guy John Clay Wolf and GimmeTheVin.com. After hearing all those ads, it's pretty much as easy as they say to sell your vehicle. So if you're
did you do it in your underwear?
I could have. I could have done it while pleasuring myself if I wanted to. It was that easy. But I still have to get the title in the mail. That's the only thing I'm waiting on, and then it'll be done. I mean,
all right.
And they just come and pick it up and drop off a check, just like they say. So. You know, if you're in that situation, go right ahead. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Does somebody really want to talk about NFL playoffs?
Let's do it. God, let's get off this nonsense.
Before we do that, I want to respond to Tyler says, I have to say the show is kind of going slow today because you don't seem to be having fun. It moves a lot faster when you have fun. Yeah, but you know
that's
what?
That's probably fair.
Sometimes.
I'm not having fun
it
today.
Is fair. No. But you know what? Sometimes we need to talk about this stuff, guys. And, you know, maybe it's not what you want to hear. And that's fine. But we've never been a show that's going to run from topics that are important. And right now, it's an important topic. All right, let's talk NFL playoffs then.
That's an important topic.
Yeah. Hello.
Jose?
Jose? Okay,
yeah, no. I know NFL. They just redid NFL playoffs. They added another game, but I was thinking, wanted to see what you guys thought. Instead of adding another game, reseeding the teams, like you know, the Texans, they like to win the division at 9-7 every year. Instead of that, say you had Buffalo Bills, they win their division, then Dolphins, they came second in their division at 10 wins, having Dolphins get a home first-round playoff game, and like the Texans, instead of having them have the home playoff game, make them travel for that first game, and if they win, then, well, just go from there.
I mean, listen, to be honest, to put it in the most simple terms I can, I wish the NFL wouldn't have changed anything about the playoffs. I think adding an extra team is stupid. I think adding an extra game is stupid. They had it right. The NFL playoffs had it right.
Well, and it's so rare that you have a 9-7 team. When the Seahawks hosted the Saints, and the Saints were 13-3, and the Seahawks were 7-9, and everybody's, oh, it's just unjust that they don't have a home game. Well, then they went out and got their ass kicked. So, you know, to me, there's no point in changing that. I mean, it doesn't happen enough for it to be a factor. And, you know, I thought the NFL playoffs were fine the way they were. And if you're good enough, you go and win. I mean, that's simple. I hate that idea. No offense, but I hate everything about it. I just, you know, it's like, let's benefit a team the thing is, it's like if you're in the Patriots division, almost every year, you're not going to wind up with, you know, you're not going to wind up with a division title. Now that's going to change now probably, but here's an idea: go get good enough to win. I mean, go make your team better. And the reality is the Texans, as much as we make fun of their 9-7, they've been 11-5 and 10-6 the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So they are in the division, and they are in their home game that they lost to the Colts and managed to get by the Bills. So, and this comes up occasionally. I just think it's, I don't see any point of changing anything. And I don't like that they've added another team, because all you're doing is rewarding mediocrity. And it's so rare that a team that deserved to get in there would now, I mean, you're not more good teams. Last year it would have been the Steelers with Duck or Mason Rudolph at quarterback.
I didn't need
and
that.
The Rams.
We all know what would have happened. And we all know what would happen with the Rams.
Yeah. So, but I get why they're doing it. It's more money. It's another awful Saturday game for us to watch on Wild Card Weekend. And, you know, that's okay. I mean, more football, all right, fine. But trying to mess around with the seating and stuff, it works. The NFL works. And, you know, the fact that the Titans can go in and beat the number one seed on their home field, I mean, you had to earn that. And they did. And if you wanted to go in and you wanted to not have to play the Chiefs in Kansas City, guess what? Have a better record, Texans. You know, it's pretty simple. It to me is the best playoff setup by far.
Yep.
And
it's the only one that feels like it feels like baseball too. You feel like you've earned something when you make the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh boy. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I was at that Texans Colt playoff game. Thanks for making me try again. Bill was so outclassed that day.
I was at that one too.
Yeah. And 346 says we're dead to him. F you guys. Well, goodbye. I guarantee you'll be texting again. You'll be texting crap again tomorrow, because it's about the 10th time you've said something like that. So
what?
You're really pissed off.
You have different feelings than me? I can't deal with you. Okay.
Bleep you guys. Yeah. Okay. You'll be texting crap again tomorrow. Yeah, this I don't know what it is with people today. They're just they're just being dickweeds. I really think everybody's just been drinking all day for Cinco de Mayo. It's got to be it, right?
That's got to be it.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Well, I can just do sports. I've got 10-second-year NFL players who could take flight in 2020. Do that. We've got the NFL's revenue hit. There's some sports for you. Is that going to make you guys happy? We'll talk about the UFC if it actually happens.
Yeah, Thursday at the earliest.
I've got college football rankings from ESPN. I mean, certainly we can do that. Or Japan's going to cancel the Summer Olympics if they're unable to be held in 2021. Or NFL players could refuse to play this season due to COVID-19.
I'm sure there are some who would.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's something that I'm sure we'll be dealing with.
People think that, like, every athlete is dying to get back on the field. I mean, there's some people who, I mean, think about all the athletes in recent times who have walked away from the game for, you know, health reasons. They're like, it's not worth me risking another concussion. And somehow, you know, risking getting COVID is different.
Let's try another call. Jake wants to talk about the Last Dance documentary.
Sports, guys.
Hey, sports.
AJ, this one's kind of for you and Fred, you as well. I was watching some of the Last Dance documentary this weekend, and I was thinking about the lack of shooting back in the 90s when Jordan. I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on how you thought maybe Russell Westbrook would have correlated to that that time with his terrible shooting, but his aggressiveness and trying to get to the rim. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I mean, Russell Westbrook is an old school player. I mean, he's the kind of player who his game would fit in a different era, in that era specifically. There aren't a lot of guys like that that still play. I would say, yeah, honestly, his game would probably fit better then than it does now.
Yeah, a lot more mid-range jumpers, a lot more taking it to the basket. And, you know, I think he would have been fine. I won't say that about everybody. But, you know, I think he'd have been fine. You know who else in his prime would have been great back then is Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I think his game would have translated very well. But it's very different now with everybody doing 3-and-D and analytics. And, you know, it was a different kind of basketball. I don't know. I mean, I probably preferred that era the most, but that's kind of what I grew up covering more than this. So, St. Patrick, sounds like there's a higher concentration of stick sports guys who are all in their feelings today. Yeah, well, that's all right. You guys can, you know, be upset if you want. I'm sure that you can try somebody else. Yeah, somebody says Paul would be like Isaiah Thomas. I think that's a great comparison.
I think it is, too.
And, you know, Isaiah was very much a very similar player, more of a shooter than Paul. I think Isaiah was kind of a shoot-first point guard and pass second. And I think Paul's always been the opposite. But, yeah, let's try another caller. No,
well, before we do that, I was curious what your thoughts were on when MJ said that Magic Johnson was the best point guard he's ever seen, and Isaiah's the second best. You agree with that?
I don't think Isaiah's the second best I've ever seen. I think Magic Johnson's the best, and I don't think he gets enough credit when everybody has these silly arguments about who's the greatest player of all time. I believe he belongs in that conversation, and I do believe he is the best point guard, period. Isaiah was great, but I don't even think he was John Stockton, to be honest with you, from that same era.
I think it's tough for me to put him there because, I think of guys like – to me, Steph is – if anybody's number two behind Magic, it's Steph. I mean, and I guess it depends on where you categorize Oscar Robertson. But,
yeah,
Steph kind of has revolutionized the game.
Which is what Magic did in a very different way. Here's a guy who was 6'9", who not only could handle the ball, he was an incredible passer. He set up so many guys. I mean, there was a time where he'd just go in there and get the ball down low to Kareem, and Kareem would shoot that skyhook, and you just couldn't stop it. And the one case I would always make for Magic, if you're arguing about greatest players, is the game where he had to play center. And scored 42 points playing center for them. He was incredibly versatile, and he made that whole thing go. And I didn't like him. It's kind of like LeBron. I don't really like LeBron, but man, you could really appreciate how great he was. And you know, Isaiah. Yeah. All right, we'll get to your call on the other side. Sorry about that. Just stick with this. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And, you know what, let's squeeze in a couple calls real quick. We're going to go to Nolan. Let's go to him first. What's up, Nolan?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Sports, Nolan. What's up?
Sports. So I believe that there should be a new stat for a quarterback, specifically if you started at the college football level, that will really help them in their draft stock. If you really think about it, when the quarterback throws the ball and it goes through the receiver's hand and the ball gets intercepted, it's unfortunate for that quarterback to get that stat towards him. And then the only comparison I can compare it to is the turnover stat in basketball and the error in baseball. If you're the third baseman and you throw it to the first baseman drops it, he's awarded the error. And also in the same basketball, you pass it to your teammate and he bobbles it out of bounds and the turnover gets awarded to that teammate. So just want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
The problem is, it gets murky even in baseball. Like if a third baseman bounces one to the first baseman and it should be a play the first baseman can make and he doesn't, then somehow the error is still on the third baseman because the ball hit the ground first, even though it still be a routine play. I don't know. I mean, a lot of these times receivers are in heavier traffic than they should be to be expected to make the catch. It's easy to say if he can get his hands on it, he should catch it. It's not always that. It's not always as simple as that. So, listen, quarterbacks, they get plenty of love. I'm all right with them taking some blame, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, that you'd almost have to sit there and judge every single one where maybe it's a five-yard pattern where the quarterback's throwing the ball 100 miles an hour. That's not on the receiver. So, you know, in theory, I get it, but I just don't know how you would make that work in reality. All right. Who's the other caller, Nick? Let's go to Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey. Sports.
Hey, sports to you, man. Go ahead.
Hey, so congrats on the 10 years, by the way. It's a great
Thank
show.
You.
I've been listening to it a long time. I haven't been listening hardly at all the last few weeks. I've been in COVID world, but I wanted to call about The Last Dance. You know, I grew up in the Lakers-Celtics era, really enjoyed that. Was a Jordan fan. If anybody asked me, if my kids asked me, I always tell them that Jordan was an assassin. Really love watching LeBron. But now that I've watched this Last Dance, you know, I've been watching the last few weeks, I'm starting to feel a little bit differently about Jordan. LeBron has grown up under this white hot spotlight his entire career. He's put up with it in the age of social media, 24-hour news. And I'm kind of wondering if Jordan punked out a little bit walking away from the sport for a couple of years because he needed to take a deep breath. And I'm looking at LeBron a little bit differently now. I'm curious. You know, I don't know if you guys talked about this a lot, but I'm curious how you feel about that.
I mean, we talked about this a little bit the other day that, you know, Jordan, while the spotlight was on Jordan, the comparisons were never there for Jordan. Like, Jordan didn't have to be better than Michael Jordan because he just was Michael Jordan. I think LeBron has it tougher than Jordan did. Despite the fact that Jordan was the biggest star in the world, Jordan didn't live in the Twitter age. He didn't deal with the comparisons. I don't know. I mean, I think both guys had their own things, but you're right that LeBron hasn't walked away from the game. I still think, you know, why Jordan walked away from the game will always be a topic of debate. And I don't know that there's a fair way to just say one reason or another, or one way or another, this is why he did it, unless he were to come out and say he did it, which he is very unlikely to, I would guess. So I don't know. I think that you can make an argument that both guys had it tough. I think anytime you get to that level of fame, it's tough.
Yeah, but it was also a lot more of a controlled message back then.
Yeah.
And
he's still controlling his message.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I don't know. I tend to agree. But let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
All right. Let's say you're a Utah Highway Patrol trooper and you see a car that's swerving so badly you think the driver might need medical attention.
Okay.
So you turn on your lights.
I saw this story. Right? It's so great.
And that didn't work, so then he turned on his siren. Says, I approached the vehicle and was expecting to find somebody who needed an ambulance or paramedics. But when the window cage came down, it was pretty clear that it was a very underage driver who was behind the wheel. The boy was sitting on the edge of his seat to reach the brake pedal. Yeah, Turns out the boy is 5 years old. He managed to get the keys of his family's Dodge and drove it 2 miles through Ogden, Utah, onto Interstate 15 when he was spotted. He asked, where did you come from? How did you get this car? And the boy told him he was going to his sister's house in California, and then told another trooper he wanted to buy a Lamborghini when he got there. Flashed open his wallet, showing his cash to purchase his dream car, $3.
That's not going to buy a Lamborghini.
No. The parents were contacted and came and took custody of their son in the vehicle. I don't want to make too much fun of this, because I'm guessing this kid has some issues. But he got 2 miles. Family said he'd never driven a car before. They don't know how he managed to get the keys to the car, much less drive across town and get on the interstate.
It's pretty impressive, so, honestly.
It is. It is. But it's also a reminder to keep keys out of the reach of children. So that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
This is, we were talking about the greatest point guards, and Patrick said, who was the other all-pro on those Pistons teams? Steph had Clay and KD for some. I've never heard this argument that Isaiah was somehow like playing with the Sisters of the Poor. Joe Dumars is a Hall of Famer. He was on that team. Dennis Rodman, a Hall of Famer, was on that team. And he's not a Hall of Famer.
Vinny Johnson.
But Bill Laimbeer.
Johnson was a hell of a player.
Yeah, Bill Laimbeer, Vinny Johnson, John Sally. That team was stacked. That was a really well-built team. So, I mean, again, I've never heard the argument that somehow Isaiah didn't have good players around him. I think that's a crazy argument, honestly.
Somebody was asking me what made Stockton better than Isaiah. Stockton was a better passer. He shot less than Isaiah, who averaged more points. But he had a better three-point percentage. He had a better shooting percentage, a better free throw percentage. He didn't have the scoring that Isaiah had. But Isaiah, like I said, was a shoot-first point guard, and Stockton wasn't. So pretty much across the board, other than scoring average, Stockton had a better career. So that's what made him better.
Well, you know why? Because they probably had hoops to practice on.
Yeah.
They
Definitely.
Were outside shooting on their hoops, pro dunk hoops goals, which that's what they should be doing anyway. That's the only way to get good. You can't practice on some rickety goal and get good. Pro dunk hoops. That's what you want. That's guys. These are the best goals on the market. Period. I mean, they cannot be beat. And it's not just during this time. It's been great, but it's great to have year round. Pro Dunk Hoops is basically putting in the best goals, and my kids have been outside every single damn day of this coronavirus. That's all they do is go out there and hoop it up, and they've got a goal that's going to fit your backyard, your home, your driveway, whatever you're looking for. They have you covered. They've got all the options that you want with it, all the accessories. They've got that all as well. But check them out, produnkhoops.com. See what goal fits your yard best. That's produnkhoops.com.